Okay, so this is what our Roots Reggae Reasoning Sessions, and I am so proud to be here this evening because I just absolutely love this subject, and I love the musicians that make a joyful noise. And so tonight, we have with us, I'm so excited, we have Einstein, and Einstein is with us representing some of the Roots Reggae Caribbean community from we're talking laying down energy from the 80s right on up and set California as the place to be. So we also have our other host, Mashariki Ramey,
Hello.
and
And I am able to see everyone, but I can't see myself, so that's just fine. And I welcome everyone to this wonderful conversation that we're going to have with Mr. Einstein Braun, who is a
thank you.
panist, a steel pan player. And I'm going to let him share his history and music, what the pan, what a steel pan instrument is, and how he is able to maneuver with it and make such beautiful music on it while singing.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Was I supposed to say something?
Jesus, I can ask you, please tell us something about yourself. How long, what is a steel pan and how long have you been playing it and when did you incorporate reggae music into your sets?
Well, first of all, thank all of you for having this platform for reggae music and for the Caribbean diaspora. I applaud you guys. Thank you very much for this. And also for having me. This is my first podcast, and I'm nervous, but I'm amongst friends, so I'm going to get over that. I was born in a village called Laventille. Laventille is the equivalent to Kingston in Jamaica, where, most of the people on my island, my twin island, Trinidad and Tobago, sees Laventille as a place that cultivate negative everything. But it so happened that out of that village came this wonderful instrument called the steel pan, or the steel drum, as most people would call it. And in that village, it was everywhere. So I heard that from birth until right now. It's still, it's still going strong into the 21st century. When I left Trinidad and Tobago in 1978, I went to Jamaica and I went to Port Antonio and I met quite a few friends there. And I joined a band called Sunny Days. And these brothers were from Barney Street in Montego Bay. And they asked me to come and join them to play on a cruise line. But I had to relearn how to play reggae music. Being from Trinidad and Tobago, the influence was always the calypso, so it was always that high energy. The tempo was always fast and going. And part of that was coming from out of slavery when they outlawed our drums. We came up with this instrument to actually celebrate our emancipation. So it was always vibrant. My culture is has two dominant races, West Africa out of Nigeria, Benin, and the other half is out of North India. So the influence of the calypso and everything has that Indian and West African thing to it. Arriving in Jamaica, it was amazing because it was so lush, just like my island. But the difference was the people, the energy. Oh, and most of all, the music. Because I never really felt the Jamaican rhythm until I was actually there to understand and feel what my brothers and sisters were feeling. So that's where I learned to play reggae music. And this was in the 70s. And come moving forward, migrated to the US 1982, formed my own reggae band, got signed to a label. So I was signed to a label as a reggae artist, not a steel panist or a soca artist or a calypsonian. It was reggae from my album called Humanize the Earth. So that's a me in a nutshell.
Well, can I ask, could you tell us the members, who were the members of your band, and perhaps where are they now? Are you still affiliated with them?
Yes. When the band was formed, this was back in 82, I had a drummer by the name of Casey Jones on drums, on bass, a gentleman by the name of Atiba. He was the bassist. Another brethren called Bedu on guitar, Ras Kidi on keyboards. And they all, we're still close, you know, because I try to stay in touch with all my brethren and them that I've worked with in all these years. So I'll pick up the phone when I think of someone that crossed my mind. I holler at them, you know. Atiba is in Delaware, where it's cold and snowing. Bedu is in one of them Ku Klux Klan state. I can't even think of the name of it. Yeah. Ras Kidi, I think he's in Las Vegas, you know.
Oh.
I think so. Yeah, I think he's in Vegas. The drummer, Casey Jones, he's playing with a band here with what's his name on guitar? What's it called? The bass player used to play with Steel Pulse. What's his name again?
Oh boy.
Anyway, those
yes,
guys, yes.
Wait a minute. I think that was the bass player we saw at Foolish Show the other day.
Yeah, probably so. Yes. Yeah, so so he's here and they're all doing well. I'm the only one that unplugged from the system like in the 90s, the late 90s. So I still stay in touch with everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm. Nice. That's nice. Still making a joyful noise.
Absolutely, yes. Yes. We used to have a lot more venues in Los Angeles for reggae music. And something happened in the 90s where a lot of it, I don't know, where all the promoters went. Most of the musicians, you know, I don't know what happened, but everything just kind of went out. We don't have that much venues anymore for more live reggae music. You know, we had Kingston 12.
Mm-hmm.
We had the one that used to be on Pico Boulevard there.
That was,
you know,
the Music Machine.
Music Machine.
Yeah.
We had one in Venice. You know, we had lots of places that were doing
Blue
reggae
Lagoon.
Music.
Was that Blue Lagoon?
The Blue Lagoon Saloon. Yeah, man. Yes, yes, yes. You know, but something happened along the way. And I was telling the brother, Rishiki, that what happened was all of the Caucasian people that used to come and listen to us would bring their kids and their teenagers. And those kids and teenagers turn out to be the ones that are running the circuit now.
That's right.
That they call Cali Roots,
mm-hmm.
you know. So they have found a way, like Sublime, the one with Gwen Stefani, what the name of the band there again?
No Doubt.
No Doubt, you know. So a lot of them got a lot of the feeling for this revolution of reggae music from what we did from the 80s into the 90s. And then they just took it and ran with it, you know. I mean, that's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
So the revolution continues.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You are currently, let's just go currently. You currently do a one-man gig in Laguna Beach. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. Like I mentioned just now that I unplugged from the system, from writing and producing and composing and all that stuff in the late 90s into the 2000s. Because most of us reggae musicians, steel pan players, or Caribbean music, we would spend thousands of dollars to create records and albums, and there's no radio station, there's no television station, there's nothing that actually promotes what we do. So I unplugged and decided to go solo and started programming all my backing tracks. And doing so, it changed the landscape a bit and gave fellow musicians a platform as well. Oh, there it is. To actually come and do reggae music on a different level and reach more people, you know. So this Sunday, coming into Mozambique, start about 3:30, but it says 3 p.m. there. So coming in there, and I'm going to do 3:30 to about 6. I'm bringing a friend along with me. He plays keyboards. His name is Uncle Ali. Played in his band for like 5 years on the casino circuit in Laughlin, Nevada. Produced a few albums for them. So I'm taking him along with me this Sunday to give him a sample as to what is out there as well.
You're also and when you do perform at Mozambique, most of the time you are by yourself, right?
Correct.
And
Yes.
do you can you explain how you're able to do that, playing steel pan, singing at the same time, and do you have any backing music with you, or is it just yourself in the steel pan?
I do program, well, I used to program most of my backing tracks. But with technology now, you know, I could call my friend in the Bahamas or my son or somebody and tell them, do it, send it to me via email or WhatsApp or something. And I would actually jam on the steel pan. You know, the steel pan to me is like any other instrument because I play guitar as well. I play keys as well, can play bass. But what I'm trying to do is to introduce this instrument into people's minds, to not look at it as just a pina colada under a coconut tree swinging on a hammock. I want them to hear it and feel it. And one of the most, well, not the most, but the number one music of the Caribbean is reggae music. And what better platform to introduce it and keep on pushing it is with reggae music, you know? And when they signed me to the label for drive-by shooting, they didn't sign me as a steel panist or someone from Trinidad and Tobago. They signed me as a reggae artist because the album was a reggae album of all original compositions and they loved it. You know, so like, sure, let's do it, you know?
What label was that?
Thump Records out of, yeah, they did the Lowrider magazines, the Lowrider hip hop label. So
Were they
we used
out
to
of
have
Long
more,
Beach?
no, Pomona.
Oh.
So we needed more labels here. We did have a few, but they folded because they were not getting the support from the larger labels. You know, so most of my musician friends, you know, the Twinkle Brothers, what's the name again? You know, there's so many of my friends that left California, you know, small acts, you know, I can't even think of most of my friends on the now.
It's
That's
okay.
terrible.
Someone that we interviewed recently is Tony Chen. Have you worked with
Yes,
Tony Chen?
absolutely.
In
Yeah.
what
Yeah.
capacity?
Well, Tony and I, we've worked together on with Foley's band. And prior to that, back in the 80s, they had a band called International Reggae All Stars, IRA. So I've
Oh.
worked with them. You remember
Yes.
them? They're International Reggae
But
All
wait, you used
Stars.
to have dreadlocks sometimes.
Yes,
Yes.
Full Dread.
Yeah.
Yeah. full dread, full beard, yes. For 30 years of Rastafari,
So that's the
yes.
eye.
Practicing, yeah. Still in my heart, you know. Yeah, Tony Chin, he, I recorded with him, I recorded with Fully. Wailing Souls, of course. You know, and those brothers welcomed me into the fold because they saw that I understood and felt the reggae rhythm, unlike the other steel panists or unlike others. But like I said earlier in the conversation, I spent my when I, my 21st birthday was in Jamaica, learning reggae music, smoking a pong of weed, and feeling the rhythm. No, seriously, you know. So that was my introduction. And when I left Jamaica and came back to Trinidad and Tobago, and I tried to explain to them that what we were playing was not roots reggae, because at that time, yeah, they did have dancehall, you know, with Daddy I Roy and U Roy, but it wasn't as popular as it is now. It was roots, you know. So coming back to Trinidad, and you know, we had a band called Matsimila. The man and them, I tried to tell them, well, you know, we have to change the rhythm and put it on the other side, as opposed to the side that we're doing it on, because the side that we were doing it on was from a calypso perspective, you know. You know, so I think most everybody now feeling it. They could feel it now, you know. But coming into Mozambique and some of the other venues has given not just myself, but most of the other reggae artists a platform and a venue where we can come in and actually let people know what reggae music message is for and what it's about, you know, equal right, justice, you know, peace, harmony, healthy eating, also spiritual, you know, groundation. You know, that's what reggae music is to me. Always been, always will be. Even making love to reggae music is one of the best things you could have, you know.
Especially on a rainy night.
Hello.
Wow. That's the truth.
I
won't
you
tell.
did mention you had a group. I think one of the groups that you did have was let me stop. Mr. Rashiki has a question.
No, you can finish your question.
Okay.
I ask it afterwards.
Okay, so your group that you did have, besides being a soloist, was Sapodilla. How long did
Yes.
you have Sapodilla? Is it still in existence? And who were the musicians that made up Sapodilla?
Sapodilla was from the late 80s into the late 90s. And once again, when I work with musicians, I try my utmost best to maintain the same group of people so that my sound will be the same. The sound of the band will be always be the same. On drums was Mr. Casey Jones. Bass was Atiba. On keyboards was Junior Crawford. On guitar, I had the opportunity, or I shouldn't say opportunity, I was blessed to have a guitar player by the name of Mr. Eric Gale
Oh, wow.
playing guitar. He's the guy that did Mr. Magic with Grover Washington and Paul Simon Late in the Evening and Tom Scott. I mean, he played with everyone. So it was a blessing to have him as a guitar player. Also, I had Michael Hyde and one of my favorite people, Elizabeth Hangen. Liz, oh my Lord, I love her. You know, so that was my family of musicians that I rolled with. We did our first single was a remake of Don't Worry, Be Happy. That was an European release. Then we did another album in 1990, I think 91, Humanize the Earth. And then the last one we did was Hop on the Good Foot. And once again, you know, all the money and stuff that we spent producing these albums and creating this music, we couldn't get no like radio stations unless like KCRW or KPFK when Miss Wire Waist was on, or Sister Barbara Barbino. You know, your boy that you mentioned his name. You just mentioned his name.
Tony
From KCR. No. Radio announcer personality from KCRW.
Roger Stephan.
Yeah. And my boy from the Inland Empire. So those guys and the platforms
Junior
they
Francis.
Had. Junior Francis, yeah. You know, you got to forgive me. I'm a little bit nervous and my brain is just not rolling as fast as
you're fine.
pulling
all
up the
right,
files.
Brad, you're
fine. We can't even tell. So we can't tell you're doing a great job. I appreciate you.
Oh, man. Thank you.
So I want to ask you, who were your influences in reggae music before you start doing it?
Wow, that's a good question. In Trinidad and Tobago, we would get, back in the day, it was like 8-track and cassettes. So we'd get 8-track with compilation of different artists, Daddy Iroy, Daddy Uroy, Big Youth. And all of this was long before Mr. Bob Marley came on the scene. You name it, you know. In a circle, third world, you know, we had, but my influence was more of a third world, Jacob Miller, John Holt. Those were the guys that I really loved what they were doing. Reason behind it is musically, it lended itself for me actually playing it on my steel pan, you know, because they were doing American covers along with original compositions, you know, that fit to play melody wise, you know. I mean, but Daddy Uroy and those guys, they would be chatting on a rhythm, you know, on a dub plate, and it'd be kind of hard to just play to actually DJ just the one note, you know. Because a man will say, you better little, you know. So, my influence was more or less John Holt, Jacob Miller, Third World. Yeah, those were the guys. And then when Mr. Bob Marley and the Wailers came on the scene,
that changed everything.
Yeah, that made it more orchestrated, you know, because the music went from an actual conscious roots to more global roots where they can reach more people because of the different instrumentation that they started using and making the music a bit more global, you know. So yeah, my influence is like I said, John Holt, Jacob Miller, Third World, and Mr. Bob Marley and Wailers and Burning Spear. Yeah.
Excellent.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
When it comes to playing the steel pan, I know that, you know, when I've heard orchestras and you hear bass, treble, soprano, or whatever, pan, what type of pan are you playing?
I play a soprano or a lead pan. My reasoning, growing up in Trinidad in the village of Laventille, and then we moved from Laventille to the that was in the east. We moved to the west, to a village called Woodbrook. And that's where I really, really got immersed into it. Prior to me playing, I learned how to tune the instrument and make it before I could even start playing. You know, and then moving to the west side, Woodbrook, there is where, you know, it harnessed my love and my mission for the instrument, you know. The lead pan why I started playing that was because I am a slim guy, and the basses are entire 55-gallon oil drums. And when it comes time to loading them on the truck, I look at it like, I'm not doing that. So the basses they take like 6 55-gallon oil drums, 9 55-gallon oil drums, 12 55-gallon oil drums to play the basses. So could you imagine skinny me having to load 12 of those things and then perform for 3 4 hours? No, sir. No, 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 no. And then, so I started playing the double guitars. So the double guitars are like in an orchestral setting, it would be the cellos, like what Capcom would play. Yeah, that cellos, or baritone setting. But that is half of a 55-gallon oil drum. I can handle that. Now, for me to get from one village to the next village, because I played in a few studio bands, I would have to ride my bicycle. So I can see myself carrying two half of a 55-gallon oil drum on my bicycle. So it was easy for me to just, put that lead pan over my shoulder, ride it one hand and pedal, and go and play with the next band, come back, So that's why I ended up playing this. But I do own some altos, which is double second there. A little bit, the skirt is a little bit longer than my one I play. When I had my two-bedroom apartment before I got married, my li entire living room was all steel drums, all steel pans, so that anyone come over, we could do a jam, But my favorite is to travel with this one because it's less cumbersome. I could put my clothes in it when I carry it. The actual stand that it's
Multi-use.
erect. Yes. It's a little more complicated to play. The steel pan is a hard instrument to play. Why? Because it's a circular instrument. It's not vertical or linear. For guitars, it could go like that. Keyboards, it could go like this. But this instrument, it's a circle, just like life, So you go, so it's kind of, you gotta figure out the patterns and you work with the patterns, That's back in the day.
Einstein,
Yes.
oh, is that his
Yes.
music?
Well, let's
Yes, ma'am.
listen.
Let's
Yeah.
listen.
Let's listen.
Oh, that's Mozambique when it
Yes,
long
it's
time ago.
Mozambique. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, let's do this all right, girl. So let me see them hand in at the air. Then you can set a fling back in there. Kick out your left foot, time to let go. Come on, let me dance the boo. She's shaking, she says, my circle. Teaching me to dance the bogo. Yes, sir. Them children, them tell me, they love my styling. A pretty girl tell me that she love my styling. So let me see at the end. Then your back, I set the fling back around. Kick out your left foot, time to let go. I'm on the way, that's the bogo.
Wow.
Excellent, excellent. It sounds really good.
So that song was done by a Jamaican artist called Byron Lee. And Byron Lee is the biggest exponent person for the music from Trinidad and Tobago. He has passed away. God rest his soul. I mean, Byron Lee is just a genius. He took the music from Trinidad and Tobago, rearranged it with a Jamaican feeling, and took it to the world.
Yes, well, I'm
Oh man.
biting me in the dragon ears.
Yeah, yes. That Chinese man could play a serious bass. Also, that Chinese man is a good engineer. Well, he's passed on, was a good engineer. I've seen him work, So that was one of his compositions called Soca Bogle. Bogle is a dance,
Yes,
a Jamaican dance, but we have a Soca Bogle. Soca butterfly,
okay.
yes.
Do you happen to have your steel drum with you right now that you can kind of lift up and show how it looks, the notes that you're hitting, because it's rounded and it's giving you different notes individually, but for people that have never seen that, are you able to show it?
I can. Give me 1 second. How do you know that I always have it set up?
Because that it goes with you everywhere, I would imagine. I mean, you just said your living room was had steel pans all over it in case somebody wanted to jam. So,
So this is
very
what it
good.
looks like.
Okay.
Because I have neighbors, I don't use my regular mallets, my sticks that I play with. So what I did was I cut the hanger, that come with the paper, those paper hangers, I cut it in half and I used them to play. And it's based on the theory of music called the circle of fifths and fourths. So this is not my professional one that I use when I go out to perform, Name that tune.
Know about that
Re
too.
Redemption song.
Okay. Now I hear it.
Yes. Yes, so this one,
Wicked, wicked.
when we got signed to the label, we did a tour of Costa Rica because the song Drive-By Shooting was a big hit, along with Bunge Americans. There you go. That's the layout. That's great. Yeah. See how expensive that is? $1,475.
That's right. Well, just
You
call
know.
that
1500.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
But
more.
yeah, they didn't show the stand that it has to be erected on. They didn't show the, oh my word. Yep, in the 70s and 60s, you could get one of these for $200.
Really?
Oh
Wow.
yeah. But what has happened is, since it went global, the demand, because of people, wanting it in the universities and high schools and colleges and
Oh,
so forth,
okay.
the prices went up, and that's a Jumbie Jam. I have one of those as well. This is for a beginner. And this company here, I just did a video promoting one of the instruments called the C, as in Charlie, the number 20. I just did it here. I endorsed their instruments as well. Yeah.
Can you talk about, because I know you make pans also, right?
I used to, I don't anymore.
Okay, but can you discuss just the process of how you can separate, the soprano pan, the bass pan, what have you? What's the process of actually tuning in and getting the notes correct?
All right. So what you're looking at here is a complete instrument. And this used to be the bottom of a 55-gallon oil drum that people would use for barbecue pits or exporting fluids. So what we did was, when they outlawed the African drums from us in Trinidad and Tobago, and we got emancipated, we took to the streets to celebrate our emancipation and started banging on biscuit cans. And in doing so, we ended up with like two notes on it. So the two notes used to sound kind of something like this. Then some brilliant Trinbegonian decided, you know what, if we could get two notes, let's go for four. So they got four notes. And the four notes that they got was the bass. So one drum had four notes. Then the other drum had eight notes. And in doing so, as time went on, we kept on adding more notes. And there's a guy by the name of Eli Manette. He came up with a design, which is this same design, but it kind of looked like pizza slices. So it came down in pizza slices style. And it wasn't separated. Each tone was kind of like conflicting and causing a dissonant. As time went on, we decided and figured out that we had to separate the notes by hammering and creating a space between them. And that's what we did. Now, looking at orchestras from Europe, North America, and so forth, we decide we're going to kind of like base it on that, what we saw. So the elders took on the task of creating a lead to represent like the first violin, the double second violin, the cellos, we have that. We actually have a tenor bass and a full bass. So our entire ensemble, excuse me, is the same like listening or looking at an orchestral band with strings and violins and drums and all of that. But we took it to the next level. The soprano, like I said, is like a first violin. All these notes in here is what you'll find in the upper register of in the spectrum of music. So the spectrum of music have the lowest here to the highest here. So in the middle here, voices, all voices fit like in the middle here. Down on the bottom part, basses, and come up cellos, voices, other instruments, to cymbals and loud crash and those high pitch. So that's what we try to create with this instrument from the basses. So these notes, each one of them, we have templates. If you look at a vibraphone or a marimba, you see they have templates cut to different lengths. What we did was we create templates that represent the same notes on a marimba, on a vibes, but instead of actually cutting the note out, we actually hand groove. So we put a template on here, scribe it, and actually create that design and get this pitch. And we do the same thing with all of the other instruments. The basses, the notes are larger. The guitars, the notes are large as well. You know, to hear an entire 100-piece steel orchestra is like listening to the Philharmonic. You know, my son, his name is Kareem, sent me a video clip of him conducting an ensemble of steel bands doing Star Wars Episode 7. And I mean, he sent me that 5:30 in the morning, California time. I couldn't go back to sleep after listening to that because it was just so amazing, you know, to go from African drum being outlawed to playing Star Wars or Bach or Beethoven or even playing Stevie Wonder. You know what I mean? So it's a wonderful thing.
This is something that originates in Trinidad, correct?
Yes, Trinidad and
So
Tobago, yes.
in Trinidad, they have big steel pan orchestras, I would imagine.
Yes, as a matter
Yeah.
of fact, the month of November right now, we have this competition called Panorama, where all the steel orchestras compete, and it's broken up into different categories. So the single pan category starts this month of November, and then you'll have the medium band category, no, small bands. So single pan, small bands, medium bands, large bands, because Carnival is coming up really quick, in February. So all of the competitions start from now and completes by January, the middle of January, end of January. Yes. Full ensemble. What a large band steel orchestra comprised of 100 players each. And we have about 10 or 15 of those. So we're talking 1,500 players, and then the medium is I think they're like 50 or 60 and so forth, Yeah.
And
Some
when they compete with each other, I mean, there are groups that are well known that are gonna people look to hear what they're gonna do, what arrangements they're gonna do. Are there special pan arrangers that are very famous for what they do with different steel pan orchestras?
Correct. Yes. Every category, they have people have their favorite ensembles that they like, and each orchestra have their own arrangers that people like. In Los Angeles here, we have one of them living out here. His name is Robert Greenidge, and Mr. Robert Greenidge used to be the steel drum player for Jimmy Buffett. So if you listen to any of Jimmy Buffett's music or see any of his videos, that steel pan player is also the arranger for one of the number one band in the globe called Desperados. And guess where they're from? Lavantville.
So you
Where all the
played with them, right?
all stars. No, I played with a band called Phase Two Pan Groove.
Oh,
On
phase two.
yeah, I'm from on the west side. Yeah. So this band you're looking at here, Trinidad All Stars Steel Orchestra, that band, they're the champions from this year. 25, 2025. Yeah, they won. Okay, now my problem with that is the audio is always so noisy. Every Caribbean island have their own university, and they have their specialty. Like Jamaica is University of the West Indies for medical. Trinidad and Tobago, University of the West Indies is for engineering. They haven't figured out yet how to actually get a nice, clean audio recording. The minute that came on, my ears went, stop!
Yeah, those are very,
was just...
very fierce.
But you have to be there live.
To
I
feel
took my wife, my ex-wife, I took my ex-wife there 5 years ago. And she hated it because she's Jamaican. She's like, man, that stuff is too noisy. When we got there, and she actually be part of it because my son was arranging for an orchestra, and she actually became engrossed in depth. I mean, like, she couldn't believe how wonderful the sound is when you're there. But listening to it, the audio, because you can't get a stereo mix of 100 steel pan players.
That's right.
No. You can't. No. It's impossible. We haven't figured out how to actually isolate it. Because when you listen to the Philharmonic, they sound pleasant to your ears. So unless you're there. Now, we have a National Steel Orchestra. And that National Steel Orchestra, when you hear those guys play, it sounds totally different. Also, they're playing on a new design of steel drums or steel pan, because this one, we tried to patent it umpteens of times, and the pushback that we got was the actual barrel. We didn't invent that. We took the barrel that was made by somebody else and put our design on it. So we always keep running up, to that. So what we decided to do in Trinidad and Tobago was design our own barrel, and it's called Genesis. The G Pan, the Genesis. So we finally got to patent it. And August 11th is Global Steel Pan Day.
August 11th.
Yes.
And what
I
happened?
play the instrument, but I'm not a steel panist like my son and those guys are. Sorry to say. I play the instrument, Yeah.
Your son is taking it to another level, and he's using the new steel pan and doing so.
Yeah, he's the captain of the National Symphony Steel Orchestra. Also, when he's not doing that, he arranges for a few other orchestras as well. And he was the one, he was part of the contingent that went to the United Nations to sign into Global Steel Pan Day on August 11th.
Is it hard to play the steel band? I mean, does it take a lot of training in order to play
There's a
it?
small ensemble.
Well,
Yes,
yeah.
it's a difficult instrument to play. But
Okay.
we are. The bass. Yes. Yeah. So you saw this six bass, the young lady was playing the bass. So that was 6 55-gallon oil drums. But she looked like she could lift them, I don't know about me.
In a case like that, I mean, what she would have to, like, I know we have the wagons, but I don't even know if the wagons are big enough to fit the big oil drum that size. So how would they
Yeah, well,
transport it?
what we have, some of the bands have wheels on them, so you can just roll them, But usually you need some assistance to lift that bad boy.
Yeah, that's pretty big. That's pretty big.
Yes.
And when it comes to making the steel pan and also tuning it, is there a school for that, or is that something you learn on the job, or you work under someone who does that? How do you learn how to make a steel pan ki and keep it tuned? Because I would imagine if it gets too cold or if it gets too hot, it would affect the tone of the steel pan.
Fantastic question. The steel pan back in the 50s and 60s, Every captain of every steel band would actually design his own steel pans to suit his playing style. So if you're a left-handed person, you'll create a steel pan to play with your left hand, if you're right-handed. And if you're only playing one key, you know. What has happened is in the 70s, we created schools and have young people come and learn how to actually make and tune them. And in the 70s, we also standardize it. So no matter where you go in the world, if you're a lead player, you can go to China and the lead pan will be standardized that you could play that day in China. You don't have to actually take your own instrument. The bass, same thing, you set it up, you know, same pattern. So in the 70s, we standardized it and we do have schools. In Ohio, Dr. Eli Manet, who passed away, he had a program where for 2 weeks, you could come out there and spend 2 weeks out there and learn how to orchestrate the steel pan, learn how to tune the steel pan, learn how to make it. And a lot of Caucasian guys went out there and, you know, they mastered it out here in the US, you know. So we have more Caucasian steel pan tuners here. And in Trinidad, we do have, you know, we do have a school for it, for the same thing.
Do you know if Long Beach State has a steel pan playing in their
They
curriculum?
used to under Dr. Michael Carney, but he passed away. And I don't know if they still have the program. Cal State Northridge, Torrance High School, there are quite a few that still have, but music is the first thing to get cut from any school curriculum. So the steel pan, because it's not
American.
a guitar or conventional instrument, will be the first to get booted out of the school curriculum. But if Cal State, Long Beach, Northridge, and all these high schools still have it, it will be part of the percussion class as one of the instruments you have to learn to play. I did a workshop night before last, and there were two people that they're trying to introduce the steel pan into film and television. So they did a workshop in Santa Clarita. I went out there, attended that, and they invited composers that compose music for film and television to come and be part of it. And we had all the instruments set up. They had all the instruments set up. And what they did was they invited the composers and them to come and try it out, you know. And the things they were doing with it surprised me because coming from the island where this thing originated, the things that they were doing it with it to create sound effects and so forth, I would never do that to my instrument. But now that I saw it done, it gave me a whole new outlook for orchestration and composing for film and television, you know. Yeah.
Do you know of any films or television that you know of that they've used it in that way that you're sharing with us?
Well, I have played steel pan in quite a few films on television, but not as an effect. To take a little ball, plastic ball, and rub it on the actual note, you know, like some, you know, rub it on here. I wish I had something that I could do it with, but yeah, to get that effect, you know, like for example, a lot of congueros, guys who play congas, lick their fingers and slide the finger across the top of the drum and we get a woo-hoo-hoo. That's what they were doing with this instrument. I was like, son of a gun, they were using different tips from different things to play it, you know, which I was amazed, you know, but I do believe that we need that to actually introduce it to another realm of the music, you know, in the music world, you know.
So if someone who is
So,
interested now in playing steel, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Masariki, I wanted to see if the panelists have any questions.
Sure.
Okay, I want to go to Charlene. Charlene, you have any questions or comments for Einstein? You are muted. Okay, come back to you, Clovette Coulter.
No, does she leave?
My question was actually answered when he was talking because I was interested in the instruments and how they were made. So I don't have any questions now. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. I know I've been talking a lot.
Vaughn?
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Charlene.
I don't really have any specific questions, but he covered a lot of bases. So, but it, I agree that it is a difficult instrument to learn because I've been
Where are you
trying to
from,
learn
Charlene?
it for a while. Trinidad.
Oh, okay.
Right, thank you.
Thank
Kevin
you.
O'Neill.
Kevin.
Kevin, are you there? He must have stepped away.
And then Vaughn. Vaughn?
No questions here.
All right, thank you.
You know
Okay,
what
go ahead.
I would like for more people, if they see someone playing the instrument, to get close and look at how they're actually playing the instrument and ask, you know, some of the things that I'm talking about, ask them, you know, the similar questions, like, for example, you know, how is it tuned? You know, can I try it? You know, because a lot of people see it and they look at it like, whoo, that thing is strange looking, you know, and they stand far away from it like, whoo, I am afraid to even but curiosity gives us more knowledge, and knowledge is power, you know. So the power of seeing someone playing and asking, you know. I had to go to Jamaica to learn the power of reggae music and what it was about and so forth, you know. So I would love more people to not be shy or standoffish. I don't know what the right word, but come up and say, hey, what are you doing? You know, can I try it? You know. I
Okay,
have a
Jin,
question.
go ahead, Jin J.
Greetings, everybody. Thank you so much, Einstein. This is just like so much information. I really appreciate it. I have
Thank you.
a question, or maybe a twofold question. So you were in Jamaica on your 21st birthday. Question is, had you ever played steel pan in Jamaica?
Yes.
Had you ever played with Pablo Black?
Pablo, no. No.
You know he plays the pan, you know.
Yes.
So you don't see him
I
over
went
in
to Jamaica.
Florida.
No, well, when I was going home to Florida, I was like unplugging from California because I would come in town to work, and I would work 2 weeks nonstop, you know, and then go home to Florida and chill by the water, and eat two mango, drink a coconut water, eat a soursop, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But
Sure. Make me want to
yeah,
move there. No. Your mom
yeah,
make me
that's
want yes. The what they call it,
you
the lightning capital of the world.
know, is that
Florida.
what you call it?
I did hear
There
say they get
is,
a lot of
yes,
lightning over
and
there.
thunder, yeah, what,
Yeah.
and thunder and wind, you know. Don't forget those things that swim in the water, what do they call them, alligators? Crocodile. Yes, they have that too. No, but these guys in Jamaica that lived on Barney Street in Mo Bay, they called me in Trinidad to come and work with them. You know, yeah. So I ended up in Jamaica and I played pan there with a few people that, you know, they wanted to know, well, how you play this? How can this work in reggae music? And my secret, still to this day, is never overplay. You know, I have two ears and one mouth. So that means I listen more and say less. But today I seem to be talking like a parrot.
Well, we really appreciate all of the history and the knowledge
Thank
and
you.
your presence. And
Thank you.
you playing at Ivan's this weekend in Mozambique. My children are playing in the evening on the
Yes, I'm open for them.
23rd. Yeah.
You know, the thing about reggae music is it has so much to offer with equal rights and justice that every little bit helps. You know, yes, the musicians, we are the vehicle, you know, really and truly, it's part of a revolution that, you know, last year I went to East Africa, I went to Nairobi.
Wow.
Yeah,
Kenya.
and they had never, Kenya, yes. I went to Nairobi. They had never seen the steel pan in East Africa where I was. It just blew my mind that this is the home of everything, you know. So for me, I told them, well, I was bringing this instrument forward home to Africa, bringing it back, you know. And the reception was from the janitor to the owners of the venues. They were like, what is
Wow.
this? What are
Wow.
you doing? You know, I played a venue called Blah Blah. The owner walked in and saw me playing, and like, this was like on a Monday night. He said, you have to come back on a Friday night so more people can actually experience this, you
Wow.
know? So I played the Monday night and came back and played the Friday night. I wasn't supposed to, you know? And they were hosting their very first Caribbean Carnival that was put on by a couple of Jamaicans and Kenyans. The turnout was really awesome. And they're thinking about doing it again next year, May, at the Caribbean Carnival. So I went out there and gave them some reggae music and steel pan.
Over in Florida, they're supposed to have some kind of a reggae museum or Caribbean museum.
Yes, I played there. Yes. That museum is awesome, man. It covers the Caribbean, and basically what it is artifacts that were excavated from all of the islands is being displayed there. The history of reggae, everything. Oh, it's
Nice.
a fantastic venue, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Which part?
Fantastic.
It's in Miami, correct?
No, Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. That's where my
Yeah,
sister
that's where I
lives.
was living.
Oh.
You used to live there too?
My sister lives there now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like
Yeah.
Fort Lauderdale.
She's
Yeah.
been there so many years. She was a flight
Yeah.
attendant, yeah, and retired.
Nice. Yeah, I played there that and did the tour of the venue. And yeah, it was great to see all the artifacts and the history of our peoples and the peoples before our people. You know. Yes.
Do they refer to them as Taino or Arawak?
That's a good question. I can't answer that with any definite But I think both is relevant because in Trinidad it's Arawaks and Caribs.
Interesting. Interesting.
Very.
Have you been to Cuba?
No, are you taking me? Let's go. Let's go.
Very interesting. Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ginger.
So the pan is particular to Trinidad and Tobago. It was initially discovered, designed there, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that explains why the Africans didn't know about it, didn't even know
No.
about it.
West Africa knows about it.
Oh, okay.
Because, like I said earlier in the conversation, most African descent Trinidadians, Trinbagonians, from either Nigeria, Benin, Ghana, West Africa, and we do have Yoruba traditions that are still practiced, so I am of Yoruba. My background, my history out of Yoruba and Benin, one of my friends gave me a gift to do this DNA thing, but I knew already, looking at my grandmother and father and all of them, it's only natural, so it was Benin, predominantly Ghana
Benin.
and
Yeah.
Nigeria.
I think my ancestry came, predominantly West Africa.
Yeah, so the West Africans are hip to it because even South Africa are hip to it, to the instrument. But East Africa, they're more Muslim,
Okay.
they're more Muslim, so their traditions and their culture is different. The Kikuyu and all the Maasai and all of them, is different, So introducing them to this instrument was amazing. And I think I'm not thinking about it. They want me to come down there in January to do a pre-show for the one that's coming up in either March or May.
Interesting.
And you wouldn't believe Burning Spear. Everybody loves Burning Spear there in East Africa. And Pato Banton had the biggest hit called Go Pato in Nairobi as well, in Kenya. Yeah.
Interesting, interesting. Yeah, it seems that now, in the community, a lot of the younger artists are not so much singing about
We
African
can't hear
music.
you.
I said it seems now in the community, a lot of the younger artists are not only singing of Africa, but they're getting on a plane and going. I mean, these young
Yes.
people are wow.
Yes. Yes, the influx the influx of Caribbean people in Kenya blew my mind. Young people I'm talking about. I'm not talking me and my 68-year-old. I'm talking young folks, and
Yeah,
they're
in their
doing things.
30s, young, late
Yes.
20s, they're not
Yeah.
playing.
No, you see, Marcus Garvey started that process, but because he got deported, it wasn't completed. And it's amazing that here we are in the 21st century, and something is getting into our young people that they want more of their history, more they want to, and they're going there. The thing that Marcus Garvey wanted us to do was, if you're a doctor, you go to Africa, teach people how to be a doctor and still come back home. If you're a carpenter, go there and build, show people how to do carpentry and so forth. He didn't want us to go there and repatriate and live there full on. You know, the concept and the idea was to actually go and educate, you know, like
Share.
Brother Malcolm X. Yeah, Brother Malcolm X, the same thing. You know, but somewhere along the way, the illusion of going to Africa, why? Living in a hut? Ooh, no. Walking bare feet? No. But, you know, when I landed in Nairobi, I was staying in a on the 14th floor of a high rise, overlooking a city that was very cosmopolitan. It was like, is this New York, California?
Wow.
You know, I had to take, yes, big wow.
How long was the plane ride?
that took a minute. 14 hours, because I had to fly from here to New York, and then from New York to Kenya. So if you know, you put that 5 hours from here to there, and then
so you didn't have to stop in London at all.
No, I had a direct flight on Kenyan Airways from New York.
Wow, that's
and
good
I had
to
a
know.
Flight from here to New York on JetBlue, then Kenyan Airways. So it was.
How long ago was this trip?
I was in March of this year. I stayed there for
Excellent.
2 weeks. Yeah.
Excellent.
I had my first time in my whole ever existence, I got a tattoo of the Kenyan flag and the coordinates as to where it's located on the planet.
Wow.
Yes, I got a tattoo on my left arm. Because to me, like, you know, this is my first time going home to the continent, and I wanted it to be memorable until I did. You know what I mean? So,
wow.
So, you know, my family was like, "You did what?" Yeah. I think anyone had the opportunity to. Sorry?
No, I was going to ask, have you done any film work as playing Steelpan?
Yes, I have. The 80s into the 90s, I did commercials, Heineken commercial, Canada Dry, Budweiser. That's just to name a few. Television, I did Babes, I did Who's the Boss, I did. Quite a few television series. In a film, I played myself in a major film. I did a couple of Steven Seagal playing Steel Pan. Days of Our Life, General Hospital, Young and Restless. That's just to name a few of those things. Star
wow.
Trek.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Quietly. I'm a quiet person, you know. I make noise quietly. IMAX film, The Living Sea and Dolphins, played Steel Pan on those. Meet the Parents, played Steel Pan in that. I can't think of it all. Recorded a video, how I met Lester Farai. Chaka Khan was shooting a video, and she needed some Rastaman in it. And that's where I met Lester Farai, shooting one of her videos. The Jimmy Cliff video. Just to name a few. I can't think of it all. But yes, I played Steel Pan in most of those.
It's interesting you call Lester Farai. We had a great podcast with him.
Oh, man, I love that brother.
He's so genuine.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's the right word. He is genuine. He's a gentle soldier.
We're going to be, our next podcast next month will be with Leon Mobley. Did you do some recording with him?
Yes. Yes.
Is this a current project?
Yes,
Would you like to share anything from that experience?
Leon, he was living in Hawaii and sent me some music and asked me to, orchestrate it. Myself and Mr. Robert Greenidge, we did it. And whenever he came in town, I would go and record him. But Leon and I go all the way back to the 80s. I was lead singing for a band called Soca Tremor, led by Phil Chin, Jamaican bass
Wow.
player.
Phil Chin.
Yes, God rest his soul. And that's where Leon and I met for the first time. And whenever we come together, we hit it off, and like, not a day missed. I love his energy. He's like, there's a cartoon show with this. Is it? He's so full of energy, man. Jeez, Idris Elba played one of the characters in this recent cartoon. Like Speedy. That's Leon. He's just like volts of energy. I love that about him. I did a project where I was teaching kids at Long Beach Steel Drum School to play steel pan. And we did a NAMM show, and Leon came in and donated his time. Yeah, with his
Wow.
percussion. Oh, awesome.
Beautiful,
Awesome.
beautiful. Okay, well, I hope you could I hope you will have some free time and sit in on his
Oh,
podcast.
definitely. I will. Send me the send. Do I just use the same link or?
It'll be
Same
the it'll
link.
be the same link.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, I was looking at the calendar of events that is coming up or went by as well. You had one last week. Rishiki had something else. I saw that.
Rashiki has something every, I think it's every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
NCWP. Well, no, Wednesday. It's Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then
Tuesday and
Thursday.
Wednesday.
Wonderful.
Because yesterday he had an artist that went to school with us, Michael Massenburg, who's a painter and talking about activism and art, which probably was really well received.
That must be really informative.
But it seems, the different, even though it's this day is always going to be, reggae for this particular show, but on Tuesdays and Wednesdays they have other topics. And he still is the host, I believe, on the Wednesday, and he might be there on Tuesday also. But yeah, there's a lot of very interesting topics on health and education and history, a lot of different things.
Yeah, I saw that.
So for anyone, please tune in the future. This is still going to be ongoing. And do you have something current? Are you playing somewhere in Los Angeles area from time to time and not so far out in Orange County?
When I'm in town, I joined a band called Upstream, and they sent out their calendar for the holiday season that is coming up. So I'm playing with them Friday tomorrow at the city of Santee. That's like San Diego. And then on Saturday, they're doing a walk, some kind of walk in Burbank, downtown Burbank. Also after that, I'm going to join a friend of mine named Emil Board. They're honoring a cricketer by the name of Sir Vivian Richards on
Wow.
Saturday.
Yeah, he, I mean, that's one of the star. Garth always talked about him. This Vivian Richards. We talking maybe 70s?
The West Indian cricket team. He, no matter who they brought to bowl, so Vivian Richards would just hit them four, six, and he, the West Indian team, all of those guys from different islands are the ones that changed what cricketers wear. They had to put on helmets now and put on cups to protect their private parts and so forth, because these West Indian boys came out, they, the West Indies, or the West Indians, as they call them, but Caribbean people were always thought of as monkeys. People that,
Docile.
yeah. And these guys came out with a vengeance. What? Monkeys playing cricket? Watch this. So they're still like held in high esteem,
High regards,
always. High regards, yes. Yeah.
yeah. Americans, I think the Americans can't play cricket because it takes too long, 2 and 3 days. I mean.
Yes. Yeah, that's the series. But now they have speed cricket where one day, yeah, and big money because the Middle Eastern, the South African, the Australians, they're putting money into it, Emirates and those guys, and then so a lot of the Caribbean players go for the money,
Everybody's going for the money.
yeah, yes. So true.
Are you playing? Do you have another group that's playing on your behalf in LA at Simply Wholesome?
No. What I did in 2013, there used to be a Caribbean restaurant, a Trinidadian restaurant called Caribbean Treehouse. I started a project there featuring different steel pan players, non-native to the instrument, called the Steel Pan Cafe. What I did was invite players to come and play whatever style that they are used to playing. And on this year, August 11th, Steel Pan Day, I hosted the Global Steel Pan Day at Simply Wholesome. And the following month, I started the Steel Pan Cafe all over again. And the concept is, like you could go and listen to reggae music, you can go and listen to hip hop, funk, R&B, jazz, any day of the week. But there isn't a venue where you can go and say, well, you know what? They're having steel pan music tonight. Let's get dressed and go out and listen to some steel pan music played by professional players of the instrument. So I've been doing that at Simply Wholesome, and they're very, I am grateful, and I applaud them for allowing me to do this project there. So once a month, I feature three different steel pan players. I will have two Caribbean players and one non-Caribbean person. From 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon. And they could come in, and they don't have, all they have to come with is their steel pans and whatever backing tracks that they need. I'm providing the sound system. Thumbs up. I'm supplying the sound system, and Simply Wholesome was very graceful to allow me to do this there. So it was supposed to happen last weekend, but because of the rain, I postponed it. And the holidays are coming, so I'm going to put it to January. So whether I'm here or not, it will be happening. Yes. I'm just trying, not trying, but I'm putting the instrument out there. And it's not really about me. It's about the instrument and making people not be afraid to come and ask questions or touch it or play on it. There's a thing that a lot of steel pan players do that I don't agree with, and they have to get it out of their minds and out of their thoughts, is that touching it with your fingers is going to spoil it. No, this instrument is made with a hammer. Okay? It started off being hammered into concave shape with a 15-pound ball peen hammer, then tuned with a 5-pound hammer, then a 1-pound hammer. So your fingers ain't doing no kind of damage to it, and having someone come up and play the instrument, anybody from the littlest of child to the oldest of person. You see me playing, come say hello. You can play on my drum anytime. Yeah. And I do believe that, or I think that most steel pan players that play in the instrument should take a crash course in learning how to tune it. Guitar players know how to tune the instrument. I mean, except for a pianist, that requires some skill. Tuning this instrument requires skill. But if you're not, if you're somewhere out in the ocean, somewhere out there doing a job, and the instrument get damaged or it goes out of tune, you don't want to be playing an out of tune instrument. I mean, not me. That will kill me. You know what I mean? So I
So
think that.
most of the players are not able to tune their pan. So if it does fall out of tune while they're playing, what do they put it aside and then take to a tuner?
Yes, they will have to do that. Yes. I just invented in an electronic steel pan. It's a synthesizer steel pan. It has five samples of steel pan songs. It gave me access to wind instruments, string instruments, percussion instruments, effects. So now this instrument, the electronic steel pan, is what I play with the band upstream. I'm using my fingers instead of playing with sticks. Yeah. So technology has moved in such a way that we're using an electronic steel pan now, you know?
Is it the same material? It's still a drum?
No, it's a synthesizer.
Okay.
When you look at a keyboard, not a piano, but a synthesizer or keyboard, you're seeing the keys. Now, inside of it has electronics that when you play the note, it triggers an instrument or a MIDI data or MIDI something along those lines, you know? So what they did was take the same design and use pads, and every pad trigger a different tone. Yeah, so that's what I play now as
So
well.
how do you know when you're performing or anyone when it's out of tune? How can they tell if they're not tuners
That the steel pan is out of tune.
or
Lord have mercy. You can hear when someone sing out of tune.
whatever?
So it's the same thing when you strike a note. You can hear whether the note is flat or sharp,
But
and the technique.
if you're playing alone, though, would it be easier to tell that if you than if you were playing with a group or vice versa, or you just know ear-wise it's out of tune?
Either way, because if you're playing in a band and everybody else is tuned and they're playing a C note and they only sound like C sharp, hey, my note is sharp, so I need to flatten it. Or you're playing by yourself and you voice a note or you play a melody note and like, oh, this doesn't sound right, And the real technology is now you could have a tuner on your cell phone to check to see your instrument is in tune. A lot of musicians that play guitars and basses or wind instrument, they already have that on their phones, so it can give them a reading, whether it's flat or sharp. Yeah.
But if they're not able to tune it right at that moment, it just stays out of tune until they can get it to a tuner. Do they continue to play,
Yes.
right?
Yes. I travel with a plastic tip hammer because I know what to do with my instrument. And playing the instrument out in sunlight can make it go flat because it's steel. And when the heat, it absorbs the heat, it expands. When it's in cold, extreme cold, the note can crack and it will get sharp. So you have to be conscious and aware of that as well,
So for the audience that's listening and you know it's out, can they tell that it's out? I mean, usually the audience, they might think it's a new style of music or something, I mean, there are some singers that are known to sing out of pitch and that's their style. So is that?
That's their style to sing out.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't know. I can't answer that one. You know, but if you're someone listening to a performer, and that performer sings out a key, you can tell.
Yes.
So I think it's pretty much the same thing. If a horn player is playing, you can hear the note if it's flat or sharp, because it's just like, something about your sense. This is why I say have two ears and one mouth. So your ears, is like, yeah. You know what I mean? Even a blind man can hear somebody's out of tune. Yeah.
Do you have any current projects, musical projects, other than what we've just already mentioned? Something down the line that you personally are working on, or?
No, I quit doing that for a long time ago, I unplugged from composing and stuff. I did compose a couple of songs. My friend that I'm taking with me on Sunday, his wife, he's an elder gentleman. His wife is suffering from dementia.
Talking
So,
about Uncle Oliver.
yes, Uncle Ollie, yeah. So I wrote a couple of songs for them, and she just loved the one song that he performs, sings for her, As far as, like I said, if I'm going to spend a few thousand dollars on a project, I need an outlet for it. And the thing about all music from the Caribbean, unless we are performing live and we're selling t-shirts or selling a flash drive with our music on it, the money that you spend for your project, you really never make it back, because 99 cents is what you'll get a song for, or someone can go on YouTube and download the song and have it on their phone, and so forth, When we had vinyl, when we had CDs, cassette, 8-track, and those things, they were tangible, where you show up and you could have it on display. People still do, but how many computers come with a CD-ROM drive? How many cars come with that? Everything come now with some kind of flash drive, or you have a subscription to Spotify, Prime, and so forth, So I would keep my money and probably invest more in merchandise. So when I go out to perform, more merchandise, But no, I don't have any project pending. Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, so for the future, now you know what that's looking like and the new technology that we do have available. Do you see something being able to change or another door opening for sharing pan or steel pan music on a different level or to a broader audience than what we've been accustomed to in the past? You being there live and playing it, and we don't have CDs and things like that. So, is there something else that you think could take place or
Oh,
should take
definitely.
place? What
Oh,
would you?
definitely. Like right now, because of streaming, I mean, you can stand up in your front yard, in your house, in your and hit YouTube and go YouTube Live, go Facebook Live, go TikTok Live, go, I think this is an amazing time. And then with AI, ooh wee. One of my friends composed a song in my tribute. They did a tribute song to me with AI. And I listened to it, I'm like, wait a minute, this can't be real. And it sounded so fresh. It blew my mind that, wow, the thing about the steel pan now is that AI wouldn't be able to to do
Duplicate.
this, because this is live. Like I said, I have a synthesized steel pan. I have five samples.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there are samples where somebody actually recorded the tonal quality of the instrument and made it accessible on this synthesizer. Yamaha, Sony, Behringer, most of the keyboard platforms have that to have steel pan samples in them, but to get the real feeling, this is it. And with streaming and AI, woo wee, if
Have
I was a
you
younger man, I
done
would love
any
it.
projects? Have you yourself done any projects using AI for sharing your music or composing?
No, but guess what? If I was 10 years younger, I'll be all up in the business. I will be all up in AI. Are you joking? I think it's
Why if
fantastic.
you were younger, why would it be better younger, not now?
The learning process, you said you've been taking classes or studying it online, right? I want to spend some time with my grandchildren and them. So
Okay, I got
me
you.
doing that, like my son,
He could do
Kareem,
it.
yeah, my grandchildren, they're born with it inside of them. From the time them come out of, from the time them born, you hand them your cell phone. They go in places and you wonder, how did you get there? The funny thing is, I went to Grenada to play for this lady that turned 100 years old. And she and I chilling out. And I mean, this lady is sharp, 100 years on her brain. She's fine at all cylinders, but she just physically, she can't move, but her brain, she pull out her iPad and say, "Einstein, check this on Facebook." And she was taking me to TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and like, "Wait, how old are you?" She said, "100. Here's what. This is, She blew my mind, man,
Yeah, because at
Oh,
100, I
wow.
mean, most people much younger, they're running. So at 100, oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, she whipped out her iPad, and went to Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and some other place. She's showing me all of these things. Like, all right, I could dig it, I was telling Genji a little bit earlier, before you guys came on, that, at 70, I'd still be playing. But I would really like to spend some quality time with, the eight grandchildren, and they don't really know me. They know me by seeing me performing on videos, television, or what have you. But me, this person, I want them to know me
Are they
before.
here? Are they here in the States, or are they?
I have two here and six in Trinidad. Yeah, the girls, yeah. I have six kids, four girls and two boys. The boys have six children, and out of the girls, two of them, yeah. So I need to actually introduce myself.
Yes. Are you currently here in Southern California, or are you located in a different state?
I just relocated 2 weeks now. In Inglewood, California. So I'm here in the city.
And if someone wants to follow you or find out what you're doing, is there a website or anything that you can share so that if they would like to see what you're doing or go see you, that they could look on your webpage or
Oh.
Instagram or something?
Yeah, but Instagram, yes. Whenever I'm going to do something like this podcast, thank you for having me again. I put it on the Instagram page, and if I'm doing anything, I usually would put it on there. But I don't have a website. I don't have that kind of stuff anymore. I unplugged, and when I unplugged, I unplugged.
So what's your Instagram? Is it just under your name, Einstein
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Nothing else?
The album cover, Humanize the Earth is the,
Humanize.
yes, you will see Humanize the Earth. The album cover is the what do you call it? The avatar or
The
whatever it is.
avatar, yeah. Oh, you're
Yeah.
yeah.
Something like that. I think that, oh Lord, I'm in trouble. Once you start to go down that road, it's like, I'm in trouble. Like, oh,
Well,
Facebook.
as a creative entity playing steel pan, do you see yourself in any type of role of bringing more positive vibrations and harmony in this place that's kind of like going all over the place? What role do you see yourself
Always.
as?
I think through music, art, no, music is a platform that can reach so many people, by what you have to say. And I know that a lot of people jump on the bandwagon with the sex thing and those violent things, That's a genre all on its own. But, Rastaman vibration is always a positive vibration, and words that come out of your mouth have to be words that is going to either enlighten, give people more knowledge, make people feel that they can fight on, So for me, any opportunity that I have or can get to express that, Rastaman vibration is positive, and I will always put myself in that arena, yes.
Is there anything that you would like to
Protest
do, that maybe you haven't
that
had
I
an
would like to
opportunity
do.
to? Yes, musically.
Musically, I would like to, like you guys have this podcast, something similar to this where you see like how you invited me or and a lot of their friends and people that are on now checking it out. I would love to have a platform like this, similar to this, or even on this platform where it's dedicated to steel pan eclectic people or steel panists that, So this is amazing. This podcast is amazing. The reggae consciousness, yeah.
And you
That's
always have an open invitation to come back anytime and share whatever you're doing, new projects, new music coming out. You just want to, share the vibe of what it is that you're doing, the positivity of the music that you share, and your energy anytime.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to take you up on that
See?
offer.
Yeah, maybe we'll get you a, well,
This is
the
my
AI
first
and
time.
so on. So
Yeah.
AI is, I'm just learning about it, but it's like so incredible the things that you're able to do. And even as far
Yeah.
as, we're speaking English right now, but let's say you wanted to share this in Japan or France or
Yes.
someplace else, you would speak English, but it can flip it to where it'll go ahead and
Yes.
translate it into the other language so you can reach other people who don't speak English. So it's,
Yes.
it's
A lot of folks are scared of AI because they're afraid that it will take away from their
creativity
jobs.
into their jobs. Yeah, well, they're gonna do that in some
But
areas.
yeah, in some area, definitely, but I think it's a good tool, to enhance. There are a few things that like academics, if AI can help someone advancing their knowledge and learn how to actually use AI to how to manage their monies, use AI along that, to use it as a tool.
Oh, yeah.
I do believe that, yeah, use it, work it. You know what I mean? Yeah, man.
But as
I'm
far
more
as
crazy.
reaching other continents and areas that maybe you're not necessarily familiar with steel pan and how it sounds and what it
Yes.
plays, I mean, it's also definitely can be used for that, so.
Oh, definitely. I'm telling you, when I went to East Africa, to Nairobi, and I look at how this commerce is being, being used. You know, they use M-Pesa, like Zelle. What do you use as Zelle? Every last person is using M-Pesa over there, and they're the ones that came up with that kind of banking transaction. And like, whoa, 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 whoa. Amazing.
Well, is there anything else? Anyone else have any questions to ask Mr. Einstein before we possibly close out? Jen J, Clavette, Charlene. Okay.
I don't have any questions, but I just want to thank you so much for enlightening us with the steel pan, and more importantly, your background, your history.
Thanks for having me, Genji.
Yes,
Peace and
thanks.
love. Yeah,
Yes, sir.
man.
Well, thanks
Only
so
the
much.
thank you for
Only the
sharing everything.
beginning.
Oh,
Thank you.
thank
Thank you,
you.
Charlene. Yeah.
So thank you so much again, Einstein. I guess we can close out now, but as I said before, any new news, anything you would like to share with us musically in the future, feel
Yes.
free. And we're in
Okay.
contact, so I'll be happy to have you back, especially we don't have any of the music that you and Leon created. I don't think it's been released yet, has it?
It should have, because this was last year.
Okay,
Well,
I
you know
don't
what?
have it. I don't know.
It takes Stevie Wonder at least a good 10 years to drop an album, so
It could be long. Right.
Yes.
Thank you so much again. Give thanks for
My
your
Cherokee, you're
talent.
good, you're good. You're
Thank
good.
you.
You're good. More power to you, Gary.
Yeah, thank you very much. And thanks for everyone that did tune in with us tonight. And we look forward
Thank
to
you.
seeing everyone again. And I believe it's December the 4th when we visit with
Okay.
Leon Mobley, who is a professional
Yeah.
djembe player. Very high energy person that's doing a lot of
Yes.
things.
He's great.
I want to thank Brother Rashiki for holding us down as
Yes.
usual. What a lovely, lovely individual. And I want to thank Mashariki for producing this as usual. It's just getting better and better.
Sure is. It really is. All right.
Yes.
I want to thank Jen J. That's my co-pilot there. I'm gonna say co-pilot because she got a lot of knowledge and things and a lot of different areas with reggae. I would like to say almost like godmother of reggae because she has
Yes.
children that are involved in reggae. Her husband, who is now an ancestor, was very much involved in reggae music.
Come
And
on, come on.
she definitely is a part of it all. So thank you very much.
Yes.
And we'll see you all the next time.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.
And
Okay, Irene.
remember, no bad days. Okay?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.